Coming up on this edition of Chippewa Valley This Week, a healthcare merger and expanded weekend hours for urgent care. Also, make your home safer, test for radon this month. Gun safety advocates call on Wisconsin lawmakers to take action. Wisconsin ends the year on a high note in clean energy. For Wisconsin farmers, the Farm Bill extension brings relief and uncertainty. And you can apply to be the next Alice in Dairyland. That and more ahead on this edition of Chippewa Valley This Week, a public affairs program of WWIB and WOGO Radio. I'm Mark Halverson. Sanford Health, the largest rural health system in the United States, headquartered in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and Marshfield Clinic Health System, this week completed their merger and are now one nonprofit integrated health system operating as Sanford Health, marking the beginning of a new chapter for the future of rural health care. Bill Gasson, president and CEO of Sanford Health, says today's historic milestone paves the way for us to advance world-class care across the rural Midwest and accelerate vital investments in the communities we have the privilege of serving. Gasson says together we will reimagine the future of local patient-centered nonprofit healthcare by expanding services, enhancing access, and harnessing innovative technologies to improve the health of our communities. He says we're thrilled to welcome 13,000 new employees from Marshfield Clinic Health System to our Sanford family and look forward to embracing all of the new possibilities that lie ahead. The Marshfield Clinic region is a new health services delivery region of Sanford Health that will continue to serve communities in Wisconsin and Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Additionally, each organization's respective health plan, Sanford Health Plan and Marshfield's Security Health Plan, will continue current operations under a common management reporting and governance structure. Dr. Brian Horniman, who previously served as interim CEO of Marshfield Clinic Health System and now is transitioned to the role of president and CEO of the Marshfield Clinic region of Sanford Health, says, quote, our partnership brings together two organizations deeply committed to advancing healthcare for the people and communities we serve in rural America. Horniman says, I'm excited about the opportunities ahead as our teams learn from each other and combine our complementary strengths, cultures, and missions. Horniman says, together we'll build on our shared legacy, creating a future where every person, regardless of zip code, has access to the best possible care. The press release says, moving forward together under the Sanford Health parent organization will bring more resources, expertise, and innovation to patient care and communities across the rural Midwest, including the Chippewa Valley. Meanwhile, on Friday, we learned Marshfield Clinic Lake Halley Center has expanded its hours and now offers urgent care services on weekends starting yesterday. Urgent care will be open Saturday and Sundays from 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. and Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. at 129 161 27th Avenue, the Lake Halley Center is conveniently located between Eau Claire and Chippewa Falls off of Highway 53. Also during January, it is National Radon Action Month. Community members can purchase a discounted home radon test from the Eau Claire City County Health Department this month. Radon is the leading cause of lung cancer in the U.S. among people who don't smoke and the second leading cause of lung cancer overall. Lung cancer caused by radon can be prevented. And the Eau Claire City County Health Department encourages you to test your home for radon to find out if you're at risk. It's strongly recommended by the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency and the U.S. Surgeon General to do so. Radon test kits are inexpensive, easy to use, and can be purchased at the health department, home improvement stores, and online. Radon is a naturally occurring radioactive gas that comes from the soil beneath and around some homes. Roughly 1 in 10 Wisconsin homes have radon levels higher than the EPA's guideline of 4 picocuries per liter. If a home has radon levels above that, it increases the resident's risk of developing lung cancer. Again, radon has no smell, taste, or color. It's found in both new and old homes and in homes with and without basements. It's impossible to detect without testing. And while 1 in 10 Wisconsin homes are said to have high radon levels, actually, according to the Eau Claire City County Health Department, 4 out of 10 homes in Eau Claire County have high radon levels. So you might want to take heed and get your test kit for just $10 from the City County Health Department. Meanwhile, as 2025 gets underway, state lawmakers and officials will continue to grapple with how to prevent school shootings like the one just a couple of weeks ago in Madison at a Christian school. While Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call is calling for a holistic approach to prevent these kinds of incidents, gun violence prevention advocates say prevention starts with stronger gun laws. Lindsay Nichols with the Giffords Law Center to Prevent Gun Violence says the state could require universal background checks for gun purchases or raise the age for gun possession.
We know that some of these shooters are young people themselves, and there are plenty of policies, for example, to keep guns out of the hands of youth. These are laws that some states have passed and some haven't. So we need action from our lawmakers to prevent and protect our kids.
Nichols says other options are to pass a red flag law or strengthen legislation on firearm storage. Nichols' organization, the Giffords Law Center to Prevent Gun Violence, ranks states on a scorecard for their gun laws each year, and Wisconsin most recently received a grade of C. Meanwhile, Wisconsin is starting 2025 on a high note in the clean energy space with some notables like a first-of-its-kind energy dome and approval for the largest solar project in state history. Together, the Columbia Energy Storage Project and the Vista Sands Solar Project are expected to generate enough energy to power more than 200,000 Wisconsin homes. In a state that imports about 70% of the energy it uses, Oliver Schmitz, Associate Dean of Engineering at UW-Madison, says projects like these are key to reducing that number.
I think in terms of the priorities, it's not only to realize clean energy as an energy source for the entire population, but also to leverage the opportunities that come with the clean energy technologies.
Schmitz says opportunities like using Wisconsin's strong manufacturing base to work toward clean energy projects. Other areas include new careers and workforce, a reduction in pollutants that contribute to climate change, and lower energy costs across the state. Meanwhile, though Wisconsin ranks around the middle of the pack nationwide for clean energy development, the state has been able to maximize some federal initiatives in the past year to fund statewide projects. Schmitz says he believes the most important component in recent advancements is community involvement.
Many of this technology discovery is community-driven. So people who consume energy, the communities out in the state are thinking about what is the fit for our community.
Schmitz says now the state would do well to focus on its baseload capacity or replacing coal plants with equivalent units of continuous energy. State announced this month a second delay of Columbia County's coal plant retirement. Schmitz believes nuclear power technologies could also be considered. And farmers in Wisconsin may be breathing a sigh of relief going into 2025 with the Farm Bill extension, but it may be temporary, as experts say there are issues with continuing the current legislation. One of the biggest problems cited with the current Farm Bill is that it was negotiated more than 5 years ago, so the crop reference prices are outdated. Paul Mitchell, agriculture and economics professor at UW-Madison, explains the reference prices allow payments to farmers when a crop falls below a certain level.
Prices have been declining on the corn and soybeans, and the processes used to create the support in these times of thin negative margins, they're out of date. Those floors were set in 2018, and you know we've gone through a lot of inflation, and so you know $1,000 isn't what it used to be.
Mitchell says farm organizations have been asking Congress to increase crop reference prices and change the process to make it more relevant to current commodity markets. The Farm Bill was extended again for another year as part of a spending bill to avert a federal government shutdown. Now, Mitchell says a lot of uncertainty looms with the incoming administration's goal to cut budget costs. There's also a new Secretary of Agriculture nominee who would play a key role in renegotiating trade agreements, which could involve imposing proposed tariffs.
So my real worry is that agriculture will be collateral damage for the new administration as they pursue other political priorities where, you know, agriculture is not their number one priority. And they will take the cost of agricultural hurt to address these issues they want to address that would partly help them get elected.
Mitchell cites other areas of concern in the Farm Bill as crop insurance, conservation programs, and the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP, which is still offering benefits too low to help those who need them, according to the Urban Institute report. Speaking of agriculture, the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection invites individuals with a passion for promoting agriculture to apply for the position of the 78th Alice in Dairyland through the end of this month. As one of the most widely recognized marketing communications professionals in the state agriculture scene, Alice in Dairyland travels extensively promoting Wisconsin's ag industry and its impact on the state economy. In this highly visible and fast-paced position, Alice in Dairyland serves as a full-time spokesperson, cultivates relationships with TV, radio, and print media outlets throughout the state, writes and delivers speeches at events, and uses social media to tell stories of Wisconsin agriculture. Additional duties include developing and executing marketing plans, delivering classroom presentations, and networking with industry professionals. Alice must also learn and retain information about the diversity of Wisconsin agriculture and be able to tailor that information to educate both urban and rural audiences. To apply, provide a cover letter, completed application form, resume, and contact information for three professional references to datcpalice@wisconsin.gov by 4:30 p.m. on January 31st of this year. Application materials are also available on the Alice in Dairyland website. Meanwhile, in this week's Democratic radio address, Governor Evers highlights his accomplishments from the past year.
2024 was a big year, folks. I declared 2024 the year of the worker in Wisconsin. So in January, we got to work to continuing our efforts addressing our state's generational workforce challenges and building a workforce to meet the needs of the 21st century. And a key part of our work building a 21st century workforce is about connecting the dots, too. That means making sure we have the roads, infrastructure, health care, and housing to support our workers and a strong workforce. That's why I'm darn proud that we've improved or repaired more than 8,600 miles of highways and roads and over 2,000 bridges since 2019. Workforce development is about making sure folks have the affordable housing they need close to their jobs and our communities. That's why this year we've been working to get $525 million, the largest investment in affordable housing in our state's history, out the door to communities across the state to start building those affordable housing units. And thanks to investments we've made since 2019, more than 410,000 homes and businesses will have new or improved high-speed internet, which we know is critical for how we learn, work, and stay connected. We also expanded access to health care, ensuring folks on Badger Care can get over-the-counter daily and emergency contraception free, secured Wisconsin's designation as a U.S. regional tech hub, welcomed billions of dollars of investments from global companies, and launched the Wisconsin Investment Fund to support startup growth. And we announced Wisconsin's tax burden fell to an all-time low, thanks in part to tax cuts I signed into law. And speaking of laws, in 2024, I signed 186 bills into law, including ensuring fair legislative maps for Wisconsin after having some of the most gerrymandered, undemocratic maps for over a decade. Boy, it was a busy year, folks, and we're not slowing down in 2025. So happy new year, and let's get to work.
Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers with this week's Democratic radio address. In this week's Republican radio address, State Senator Corey Tomczyk of Mosinee says he plans to encourage tax cut bills this session.
First, I want to wish you all a happy new year. I am excited to ring in 2025 and get back to work here in the state capitol. Now that campaign season is behind us, the legislature is ready to begin a new session and tackle the issues that Wisconsin faces. In the next few months, we will begin to work on the biennial state budget. With over $4 billion in the bank, I believe one of our biggest priorities should be to return those back to those who paid them. You, the taxpayers of Wisconsin. A state should not be sitting on piles of cash as a result of taking too many tax dollars from our hardworking constituents. And in the last session, the Republican legislature passed bills that would do just that, only to be met by a veto from Governor Evers. Those bills were strictly tax cut bills, using thresholds supported by the governor. There were no poison pills, no other policy attached, yet Governor Evers felt that your hard-earned money belongs in Madison and not in your pocket. I am ready to pass another tax cut and urge Governor Evers to support it. Along with the new session, I plan on bringing back a couple of bills near and dear to my heart. Those bills would prevent any municipality from banning vehicles based on their power source, and the other would do the same for devices such as lawnmowers, chainsaws, and leaf blowers. This means that places like Madison could not ban your gas lawnmower, and places like Mosinee or Marshfield could not ban electric cars. I believe all Wisconsinites should be able to drive whatever car they want and use whatever tool they want, regardless of what powers them. These bills have been signed into law in other states by Republican and Democrat governors, and I hope Governor Evers sees that these are common sense bills and signs them into law this year. Again, Happy New Year. I wish you and your families a prosperous and healthy 2025.
Republican State Senator Corey Tomczyk of Mosinee. That does it for this edition of Chippewa Valley This Week, a public affairs program of WWIB and WOGO Radio. I'm Mark Halverson. Thanks for listening.